I was thinking this week about a time when the presence of God was real evident to me. I'd taken a work trip, youth group, down to South Carolina, and we had a Sunday morning like this to worship with some of the folks we were serving, and it was an African-American congregation down there, and there was some presence of the Spirit in that congregation. A little bit of movement, a little bit of grab your tambourine and shake off Satan a little bit, and really get some smooth musical notes going, and it was a good time praising. We were probably 30 minutes into it, and the pastor says, "We got a few visitors with us." Yeah, really, the white youth group. It was kind of noticeable, but he wanted to point us out, and he said, and their leader, Brother Dave's here. Let's have Brother Dave come up here. And I looked around like, well, maybe there's another Brother Dave, like, in here somewhere, but no, it was me. And Brother Dave's going to give us a word. And I was like, I am. Yeah, you're going to come up here. And you know me, I kind of like to think about it a little bit, script it, but no time here. So he could tell I was nervous. I just started in ministry with this youth group, and he's got his arm around me. He's like, come on now, we're all family here. And I thought, well, looking at our skin tones a little, and some of our tradition, and even, you know, maybe some of our socioeconomics even, I don't, you know, we don't look much like family, but here in worship, we are family, the Holy Spirit showing us who we truly are and to whom we truly love together. In that space, we were family. We had nothing to fear. The Apostle Paul wrote a long time ago to the Ephesian church. He said, through Christ, we all have access to the Father through the Spirit. We're no longer foreigners. We're no longer aliens. But we are fellow citizens. Members of God's house. We're family. And we're building on a foundation laid by some prophets and some apostles, with the chief cornerstone being Jesus. And in that building, in that church, in that family, we are joined together, and we're going to become a holy, mighty temple of the Lord. And in Him, we are built together to become a dwelling place where God lives by His Spirit. When we are a community of faith, God is found evident to be alive. That's who we are today. Believers, some seekers, questioning, but we're coming here to praise God, this powerful divine presence, who, if He wanted to, could just rattle earth and destroy us, but instead chooses to use that power to just lavish abundant love and grace on us. And that's why we're here this morning, to claim that together, to share in that history and that story, to find each other longing for that love. We've been talking about worship with our hands. And first week I said, let's worship our hands with them raised, because this is a sign of being in awe and praising the one who's victorious and saying we surrender to the one who rules our life. And then I said, worship can be praise with our arms open, because we're receiving a great gift when we come here. We got to be prepared to hear something. The Lord is readying us and wants us to receive what He has to offer. We're coming with arms open. And last week I said, let's worship with our hands cleansed, because we've got some things, some baggage that we need to repent of. And when we worship, there's the act of God cleaning us up. And so we washed our hands. And today I'm inviting you to worship with your hands clasped together with each other, forming that family, building that bridge, feeling God's Spirit bringing us together. Now, I'll be honest, I have not always, and currently am not someone who really likes to worship holding hands too much. I can remember as a kid worshiping around the dinner table holding the hands of my brother and my dad. That was mostly so I wouldn't flick my brother on the ear or steal his food, you know. But I remember that, holding hands. I remember holding hands in youth group at times during moments of worship. And honestly, I thought that was a little touchy-feely. Unless I was holding the hand of an older high school girl. Then it was, God was moving. No. I remember being at an exploration retreat. Young, kind of college age men and women thinking about the call to ministry. Praying, holding hands. That was Spirit-led. I felt God move in that moment. But for the most part, I usually like to worship with my hands myself. And I'm wondering where this comes from. You know, maybe in the recesses of my heart a little bit when I'm coming to worship, it's because I want to worship with just Jesus and me. You know, I want to work on my relationship with Jesus. I want to give my overdue thanks to God. I want to hear God's personal instruction for me. I want God to strengthen my faith, but I didn't really come to deal with, you know, his problems or her problems. I got enough problems on my own. I'm just here to work on me. Do you ever enter the sanctuary that way? Political scientist Robert Putnam, he wrote a book about how community is crumbling, and he used bowling as an example. He said, did you know the past 40 years, more and more people are into bowling? It's a kind of a growing pastime. But in that same time, the number of people in bowling leagues has declined significantly. It's like that in every area of life, including faith. People are bowling, but they're bowling alone. We live in this intimate, individual society. When we talk about connecting with God, we tend to say, I want to be personally, spiritually attuned. You know, I want to be centered on Jesus, myself, developing a personal relationship. This is our language, all important. But Scripture reminds us that it's not just me, it's us. God's word in Genesis chapter 2, it's not good for humanity to be alone. Exodus 8:1, Moses says to Pharaoh, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, sent me to say to you, let my people go so they may worship me. Jeremiah the prophet said, speaking for God, I'm going to gather them to which I drove them out in anger, and now I'm going to bring them back. And I will settle them in safety, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them a heart and a way to fear me. Hebrews chapter 10, let us consider how to stir one another up, not neglecting to meet, as is some habit, but encouraging one another. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Matthew 18:20. From the very beginning, human beings were created not to be alone, to encounter God in community. In the Bible, when folks encounter God, there are some times where it's a face-to-face, direct experience, but for the most part, people find God through priests, through prophets, through strangers, through signs, through community preaching, through practices everyone's doing together. They find it with other people. And Jesus knows this. Jesus says, make my love visible together. He's getting ready to go to the Father. And in John's gospel, he gives one lasting commandment to his friends. He says, I give you this new commandment to love one another. As I've loved you, you should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciple. If you, the church, love one another. When we come together, when we come together in worship, when we come together in worship and love, there is evidence that Jesus is alive in the world. I thought that the love of Jesus would be known to the world by the way we stood up for justice. Or I thought the love of Jesus would be known in the world by our knowledge of the Bible. Then people would know we're with him. Or I thought that the world would see that we are on Jesus' side through our prayer life. That would be proof. But our Lord says, you want to know how the world's going to know that we're with Jesus? How we love each other in the church. That will be the evidence. Think about worship as God's love made audible and visible. I like that definition. God's love evident, audibly, sound, and sight in worship. When the praise team leads us in a chorus, we can hear God's love coming alive. You know, when we read the scripture, we can hear God's love coming alive to us. When we take communion, we see God's love coming alive. But not only that, when someone greets you, shakes your hand, shows they care for you, don't you see God's love coming alive? When they speak a word of encouragement into you, don't you hear God's love coming alive? When we come together, love each other, God is glorified in our worship. So I've been thinking about how does that hand clasping happen? What does it look like when it looks great? I want to draw on some thoughts from the first Christian community, Acts chapter 2, the Acts 2 community. Hear these words of God this morning. These early Christians, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayers. All came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common, and they'd sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, and as any had need. Day by day, as they spent time together in the temple, they broke bread at home. They ate their food with glad, generous hearts. They were praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. You know, as I listen to this description of this community with hands clasped, coming together in worship, it draws to mind ways that I have held people's hands this week, and how God has been teaching me through those. One of those ways that some hands touched this week was yesterday morning, right before Anna's soccer team took the field. We all gathered around Red Team number 3, the Cosmos, and we put our hands together, and we said, "Go Red Team, because we are going to win together, and we are going to hoard that ball as little 4-year-olds, and we're going to follow it everywhere, and we're going to score lots of goals, because we have a common vision." And that was us, with our hands clasped together. And worship means a group of people, hands clasped, saying, we are going to devote to the authority of God's word. We are going to devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching. We're going to have unity in the faith as we mature in this knowledge. We're going to trust it and let it rule our life. And scripture is going to be read out loud, and a sermon's going to be preached that we're going to hear, and we're going to wrestle with it, and that word is going to unify us. Because when we listen to that word, we're going to say yes to the Lord. But not just yes me, we're going to say together, yes, hands in, we're going to live faithfully. And this worship glorifies God. I thought of another image of hands together, and that's sitting around our dinner table at home. The kids asking us, all right, let's grab hands and pray. I've noticed lately that Anna's prayers begin with thanksgiving for the dogs. It's kind of a requirement. It's not a good prayer unless the dogs are blessed. Lord, watch over these dogs. But then there's always other thanks. And my 4-year-old is just so thankful. Thank you for this family, for this food, for Jesus. And when we're praying with our hands together, we're not watching TV. We're not talking about the day. We're not cracking jokes. We're not complaining. It's just resting in gratitude for God who provides. And isn't that our worship? As we grasp our own hands together, it's a unified thank you, God. Think about that first community. They broke bread together, ate with glad, generous hearts. Every Sunday morning, we come, thank you, Lord, for the bread of life in Jesus. And when we gather for communion, we can literally see the bread broken, and we're handing it to each other and saying, thank you. And we're nourished together, and we remember together, and we're getting ready to serve Christ together. Hands that eat together are hands that stay together. It's another image of us, hands clasped, giving thanks. What about hands shaking? Have you given anybody a good handshake today? We did some handshaking this week because Addison's always bargaining with me. He doesn't have a curfew. He's 10, so he's not out partying. But he does have a bedtime. He does have a morning wake-up time, and he likes to debate this. Often, try and work his way around to a more suitable time. And so sometimes he'll negotiate and bargain, and sometimes we'll crack a deal. All right, deal has been made. There is an agreement. That first Acts 2 community said, we're going to agree that no one's going to be in need. We're going to share our possessions, distribute them. No one's going to be left out. No one's going to be left alone. Now today, you did some handshaking, probably during the passing of the peace. Hello, good morning. Nice haircut. How was your weekend? You know. But I think that also in that handshake is a vow to encourage. I'm here for you. I'm going to care for you. In that handshake is, I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to kind of hold you accountable. Because who else is going to encourage you to stay away from sin this week if it's not friends in here? Who else is going to say, way to go standing up for God in your life if it's not this family? In worship, we are making that deal still to stand with each other in Christ and for Christ. God is glorified when our hands come together and we say, we're making a deal to be together in this mission. Wednesday night, I was thinking about all kinds of hand-holding. Crossing the street, coming over to WOW. Now, did you know Penn Avenue over here is kind of like I-65 Wednesday night? There's this bustling movement. People are speeding, places to go. So Anna has to hold hands across the street. Why? To be protected. We're going to protect each other. And then as WOW ends on Wednesday night, the kids, they get together on these little prayer rugs, and they hold each other's hands, and they have prayer circles. And a lot of times it's prayers for protection, for school, tests, in my family. And as they're praying, you know, they're each squeezing each other's hands to say, it's your turn. It's your turn to go. And can't you see that being our practice in worship, praying for each other for God's protection? We do it as we lift concerns this week. We do it in first service as we say the Lord's Prayer together, Lord, in a unified voice, protect us. We are pursuing God for the sake of each other. A lot of times I think of praying with hands clasped this way. Maybe a better prayer gesture is hands clasped to one another. God's glorified in our worship when our hands are connected in prayer for each other. This next image did not happen this week. I would call it hands flying, hands swinging. With Cindy's surgery, this wasn't possible this week, but Anna loves this. Basically, we grab her and we launch her in the air and we hope there is no skull damage or anything, you know? It's just swinging and it's just abundant joy. Swing me again, fling me. It's joy upon joy. God wants us to experience this kind of joy, clasped together. We heard the Acts 2 church is devoted to fellowship. That means that they shared each other's celebration together, celebrated each other's hope together. As we grow in our relationship with each other, then Christ and his joyful love is more evident in our bonds together. Jesus says, if we can learn to swing together hand in hand, then the world is going to discover how to swing with him. When the world sees us having this much fun, the world will want to know him. The last image that came to mind about hands clasped this week was Tuesday at the surgery center. Cindy had just come out of surgery. Things had gone well. She was coming out of anesthesia, still feeling a bit nauseous. And I sat down and I just grabbed her hand, the one they didn't operate on. I grabbed the healthy hand and I just held it. And she fell back asleep for a while and I just sat there holding her hand, watching the people, listening, hearing her breathing. And why would you do this? I mean, I didn't believe in any miraculous power I had, because I loved her. I just wanted to embrace her. Now, I'm not a saint, none of us are, but we all know the power of healing and presence. And this is perhaps our best image of worship with hands clasped. It's just loving each other. Because when we really love each other, then we see God in new ways, and we find the world seeing God in us more profoundly and purely and perfectedly. So that's the vital worship I see from Acts 2, a church long ago, a church very much possible today. A church that worships with its hands together, saying we're all in together, saying that we are going to pray for each other, that we're going to give thanks together, that we're going to encourage and make a deal to keep each other accountable, that we are going to celebrate and have fun and fellowship together and just love each other. Man, a church with hands clasped in that way can really change the world. I'm going to pray for us and pray for our meal that we're going to have, that God will be present in our family today. Heavenly Father, it's an honor and glory that we come and worship. Give it all to you, Lord, our praise, our hurts, our darkness, and our light. Lord, here we are in worship today, but it's not just David with you here today, Lord. It's his family in Christ, and where draw us together, Lord. Not just for the sake of feeling good necessarily, Lord, but because we believe it makes evident your love. And we want your love to shine bright in this world and in our lives together. So work it out, Lord. Work out whatever might be keeping us divided, some frustration, some fear, Lord. Whatever might be keeping us not focused on a vision together, Lord, just eradicate that. And give us central, just give us a clear thought, your presence, Lord. Give us clear thought on who we are as your people. God, I pray a blessing over the meal that's been prepared by your family today. And may it just kind of nourish our bodies, give us energy. But in all things, Lord, be in our fellowship and our conversation. Just build the relationships of your church, Lord. We go forth knowing you'll be with us, that we're already victorious, Lord. Help us see that victory in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.